Thank you, Lord. Everyone say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, you work with us tonight to help us to see the Lord move, church. Praise the Lord. I want you to turn your Bibles to the writings of 1 Samuel 15, chapter, please, if you will, the first verse. 1 Samuel 15, chapter, the first verse. Having the grace of the Lord tonight, I'd like to talk to you. Always get with us now for this service tonight. Something that I try to preach about everywhere I go, trying to warn folks. You know, the Lord, that Jesus is coming, and he's coming very soon. And we need to get ready to meet Jesus. Reading with us tonight, we're reading from the 15th chapter, I say again, first verse, the Bible said, and Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way, and he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men in Gibeon. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you tonight. You may be seated in the fear of God.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Samuel said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you to be king over his people, over Israel. Thus saith the Lord, I remember what Amalek did to Israel, and he laid wait in the way, and he came up from Egypt. Now, Saul, go and smite Amalek, utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not, but slay both man, woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, ass. In other words, God went down the line. He said, there is nothing that pertains to the Amalekites but what I want to be destroyed.
All right.
I don't want you to keep nothing alive.
All right.
To spare nothing, to spare no one, to spare no child. You will see old, you will see young, you will see babies, you will see the sick laying on couches. That is feeble, that cannot resist you in a fight. But when you look at them with eyes of mercy, don't spare them.
All right.
You'll see a mother holding a baby in her arm. That baby is just a few weeks old. When you look at that baby, don't spare it. Remember, it's not just a baby, but it's an infant.
All right.
Don't keep it away. There's nothing that they have that I want you to have. I permitted you to have and to take the spoil of the good of the battles that you went into. I permitted you to take the things that were left over, residue of battle. If there was garments, implements of war, gold or silver or anything that was usable, I allowed you to take it. But the things that belong to the Amalekites, God said, I don't want you to have them. Don't bring them back with you. Burn it, destroy it, kill it. In any way, destruction. Spare nothing that belongs to the Amalekites.
All right.
Kill the Amalekites. Kill them. Kill them, kill them, kill them. This was the word of a prophet of God speaking to the man of God of that day, the king of Israel, the man that had the voice in the mind of the people, the man that God was trying to use. And today, there is a very dire need for us, and in the Lord, to listen and take a lesson from this little logical scripture reading that I read to you tonight. There is a need for us to kill the Amalekite of our enemy.
All right. Yes, sir.
I preach this nearly everywhere I go. The Lord gave me this message a few years ago, and I have to preach it because it's just something that burns inside of my heart to tell people that there's something about sin. There's something about the nature of sin.
Yes, Yes.
The writer of Solomon, Songs of Solomon, said that it is the lick fox that spoils the vine. It is easy to see what's hurting the vine when you can walk in a garden and you can see the bug that's lit upon it, or you can see the things that's causing the leaves to decay. But when the plant's still dying and you don't even understand what's happening, it's a bad situation. The little fox has not the height to get up and pick the grape off of the vine. It don't have the ability to tear the top off. All it does is chew the bark around the bottom of the tree. But when it cuts that circular bark around the bottom of the grapevine, it has destroyed the life of that plant. That epidermis of that skin bark of that little plant is a thing that, if it is cut in two, that plant will die. It's a little fox that spoils the bark.
All right.
Sometimes it's things down deep, hidden and unseen.
That's it.
That nobody else ever thinks to look at. Who would think to examine a tree to see if the bark was in contact all the way down to the ground? But there comes a time when the husband of the vineyard has to check to see, because something's wrong with the plant. Amen.
All right, yes, sir.
Tonight, if you know God, or if you don't know Him, there's a reason why you don't know Him. And if tonight, and your life has not, amen, come to a successful pleasure living for the Lord, it might be that there's something in your life that God wants to take out of it.
Yes.
There's something that tells me in the Word of God, the writings of the apostles to the epistles of the New Testament Scripture. He said, therefore we ought to lay aside the weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Seeing that we're compassed about by so great a crowd of witnesses, this is the reason that God wants us to do that. We're the light of the world. We're cities that are set upon a hill. We're an example of Christ. We're ambassadors. We're representatives. But tonight, friend, I'm speaking to anybody that it will concern tonight. I don't directly preach to any particular person in this house tonight. I'm just telling you what the Lord's laid on our heart for this service. There is Amalekites that God wanted to kill. He said, because I do remember how that when my people were coming out of the land of bondage and they were headed toward the land of promise, that Amalek did come and set himself in array and stood in the way to hinder my people from going into the promised land. Praise the Lord. Can you say hallelujah to me? You might read about this story in the writings of the books of Exodus, where this all really began, over the writings of 17th chapter. Now that the Bible talks about how that when they had come out of the land of bondage and they were journeying, they had been there years, and all of a sudden they had come to this place. Amalek, one of the people of the land of Canaan, even all the descendants, amen, of Esau, the Edomites, all the people that were absolutely against God, because it was just like the story of Ishmael, the son of the bondwoman. He was a man that said, I ought to have rightfully what belongs to the firstborn of Abraham, because after all, I am the son of Abraham, and I am the firstborn. But the Bible said that he was not the son of promise, he was the son of the bondwoman. He was not what God wanted to give it to. And Ishmael always had something in his grit, in his gall, against this man of God, even Isaac, because he thought that Isaac robbed him of what was rightfully his. After all, Abraham was his father, and he was rejected and set out in the wilderness to die. And every time that he would say Isaac, he would laugh and make fun of him, because he is rejected, and Isaac had been accepted. And Isaac was the son of promise that received the land of promise, the land of Canaan. Ishmael was cast out. God said, every man's hand was going to be against you, and you would be against them. You would be even a man that would be the father of many nations. I have not forgotten you. And he has filled that role today, as he has borne the burden of doing what God said he would do. He would be a man of grievance, a man of turmoil, a man of war, a man that his hand would be against everyone, a man that would have the power to affect the world, if you please. Well, the Ishmaelites, or the Arabs, or the Middle East countries, all of those major countries that are Arabian, that surround Israel today, are nothing but the descendants of Ishmael, Esau, the Edomites. Can you say praise the Lord? Here was Amalek. If you find biblical studying, you'll find that, as I say again, Ishmael was a type of falsivity, a false representation. It was almost true because he was the son of Abraham, but he was not the son of promise. And I think that Amalek, as he came to fight, being a descendant of the Ishmaelites, he had one sole purpose in mind. He said, I couldn't have it, and you're not going to get it.
All right.
He went out and he stopped right in the way of Israel with horses and chariots and war. He looked at them and he said, we'll stop you at the cost of blood if it takes it, Moses, and you'll not go into the promised land if we have anything to do with it. Moses went to the Lord to beseech God and cry unto the Lord about this. Somehow God put faith in his heart for the battle. He turned to the children of Israel. He said, tomorrow when the sun rises, the battle shall be put in array against Amalek. And I will go unto yonder hill, and I will stand before the Lord, and I'll watch what goes on in the valley. And when the battle gets rough, I will call upon the name of the Lord God of Israel, and he will deliver Amalek into our hands. Can you say praise the Lord for that? You read this beautiful story, how that the man of God went to the hill, and there he stood before the Lord. And as the battle was put into array, things were going good. The men were just men. They began to tire. Amalek began to get the best of the children of Israel. As they came against them, amen, all of a sudden, what was happening? They would turn their eyes toward the hill. There was an old gray-headed gentleman standing up there with both hands reached toward the glory world, talking to the Lord. But his hands would get tired after a while, and they would go down. And when his hands went down, the battle turned against Israel. It just made an about face, and they began to lose. Somebody looked longing to the hill, saying, Moses, if there's any way, get your hands back to the air. Touch God for us, because as long as you're praying, God's a helping us. Can you say praise the Lord tonight? And Aaron and Hur looked and noticed what was happening, and finally they took it upon themselves and said, well, man, if it's got that much effect upon it, we're going to do what the Bible said. Lift up the hands that hang down, and confirm and strengthen feeble knees. One of them got under the hand of Moses on one side and one on the other, and they set this man of God down on a rock and held his hands high before the Lord. And God gave the battle into the hands of the Israelites that day. But God was sore vexed against what had happened. Moses offered an offering unto the Lord and began to praise the Lord, and he named that place. And the Bible said, Moses, he built an altar and he called the name of it Jehovah Sinissi. And he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek, not now, not just today, because there's Amalekites that have gotten away, but from generation to generation. I have offered a sacrifice to the Lord. God has accepted it. But the Lord has made a covenant with me. He has spoken. He said, generation after generation is going to have to fight Amalek, because he is a type and a shadow and a representation of that which would stand in the way of those that would journey toward the promised land. Can you say praise the Lord? The Amalekite, the Amalekite. You read how that Saul went down against the people of the cities of the Amalekites. Agag the king was a man that was king of that place. The men of Israel, Jebusites, were allowed to lead, and God gave the battle into the hands of Saul, and God prospered. It was an easy thing, because when the Lord tells you to do something, it has to work. Can you say amen? It has to work, because the Word of God is there. Because the Bible tells me, for the Word of God is forever settled. I believe that. What God has said, he means. As the writer Isaiah prophesied, he said, as the rains cometh down from the heavens, and the snow cometh down to the earth, amen, and it giveth water to the earth, and it giveth bread, amen, to those that eat, amen, to the Lord. He said, so shall be my word that goeth forth. It shall go forth, and it shall prosper, wherein the thing that I have sent it to do. And it will not come again unto me void. Praise God. God said it is going to happen, and that's the way it is. It's just a matter of waiting, as the Bible tells us. Let patience have her perfect work. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it takes a little waiting on God, but God said it. We can believe it, and when God said it, it will come to pass. But obedience is the key to the whole thing, to the Lord. The Amalekites were destroyed. They were smitten. The people found Agag. They brought him to Saul. They walked through the barnyards. They walked through the pastures. they brought it to the sheepfolds, and they just couldn't take it in their heart to slay those uneducated calves and sheep. So this thing's so easy, it's like swatting flies on a stick of butter on a sunshine day. This is the easiest thing you ever done in your life. If you're not careful, the blessings of God can turn against you.
All right.
Now, maybe I'll get your attention.
Yes.
How can it get against you? Because beware, lest you forget the Lord God that brought you forth from the land of Egypt.
Right.
It's easy when God is blessing you and causing you to prosper, to forget where those things are coming from. It's easy to forget to pray and, amen, live a life of sacrifice, to fast and to pray and seek the Lord. It's easy for a sinner to forget where their blessings have come from when they have never found time to talk to God and try to realize that it's God that gives breath and life. They took the fatted calves, they took the oxen, they took the sheep, they brought them back, and here was Agag. This was the easiest battle that Israel had fought in a long time. They brought them down before the Lord, and there they waited in terror with God. It was not total obedience. I am a person that believes when God asks you to do something, He means total commitment. 100% sacrifice.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right.
Amen.
Does He mean just do it until you feel like you've done what you should do, and then when you feel good about it, quit? He tells you that you ought to obey.
Amen.
What God tells you to do.
Amen.
The Lord talked to a little prophet of God that had left that place, that was sitting up there talking to the Lord. As Samuel tried to retire to go to bed that night, he prayed about the battle that had went on that day, and he felt good because he knew that God was going to give him his hands. As he knelt that evening and began to talk to the Lord, he prayed, and as he sought God, he said, God, I want to thank you, my friend, on what you have done for Israel today. I know you've given them battle. Nobody's brought news to me yet, but I know because you said you was going to do it. I want to thank you for what Saul has done today, Lord. I want to thank you for him obeying you. And all of a sudden, a negative spirit hit him. He said, what is this, God? I know you didn't lie. I thank you because they obeyed, but he couldn't feel good. God said, Saul has not obeyed. But what has he done, God? He said he is spared of the Amalekites. And he is spared of the fat, of the oxen and the sheep. The preacher melted before the presence of God. He said, but the Lord, I made it plain, didn't I? God did not tell him. Did I miss you? Did I not get it into his life like I should have? Was there a fault of mine? And he began to rack his brains. God, did I make it implied to be spared? True, did you not draw it like it should have been drawn? Did he understand what I meant? He said he knew. But he just didn't obey what you told him to do. And that man of God, the Bible said, he went before the Lord all the night until the sun rose the next morning. Don't you ever think for one moment tonight that sin is something that can be hid, covered up, or gotten away with, or just easily done away with? When God's on your trail and God's looking over your soul, friend, I want to tell you something tonight. God's able to talk to people. Can you say praise the Lord? Oh, Brother Saul, one of the meanest, horniest devils ever walked the face of the earth. God talked to an old brother, amen, that was full of the Holy Ghost, named Ananias, and he talked to him as he was praying one night. Amen. God said, Ananias, yes, Lord. He said, I want you to do something. Okay, God, I'll try. He said, there's a man that's come into this town today. He's a stranger to you, but you've heard of him. Okay, God. He said, what do you want to do? He said, I want you to go down. He sick. His eyes are blinded and he needs healing and he needs the Holy Ghost. God, I'll willingly go and pray for anybody that needs the Holy Ghost, and I'll pray that you will heal him. God said, okay. He said, now go down and pray for that man called Saul of Tarsus. He said, what? He said, oh, no, God. He said, that man's killing us. He's putting us in churches, amen, and he's taking, making havoc of us and binding us. God said, I know what I'm doing. Get up and go lay your hands upon me. God knows what's happening, friend, in your life.
Paul was seeking the Lord,
and God filled him with the Holy Ghost and opened his blinded eyes. And God would move upon you tonight because he knows what you have thought. He knows what you're thinking. He knows if you've got any intentions of going to the altar tonight. He knows whether or not you're playing the role of a hypocrite by telling yourself you're saved and really you know you're not. It makes me to feel kind of funny. And not, I don't really feel sorry for a lot of folks today that'll say, I'm saved and still sin. Friend, if you'll lie to yourself, you'll lie to anyone.
Oh, God.
That's a hard statement, preacher. Now, don't say it like that. I said if you'll lie to yourself, you'll lie to anybody.
All right.
Well, let's just tighten that nut a little bit tighter. Why would you lie to yourself when you know that the Bible said that no sin's going to enter into that city? How can we believe that we can sin and get by? Because we have heard it crammed in our ears by radio preachers. And today they're telling the world through the media television. They're telling them, you don't have to live a perfect life every day. You can't live every day without sinning. Well, an old preacher gets up there and he said, even myself, I take a sociable beer every once in a while. I smoke a cigar every once in a while because I don't take enough to hurt my body. Therefore, it's all right. Let me tell you what, a little bit of sin is just as bad as a whole lot of sin. God never justified nothing. Let me tell you, these carnal men today that are calling themselves preachers, that are leading folks to hell, they're not a man of salvation, but they are a blind leader. And the Bible said if the blind lead the blind, they're going to all fall into the ditch. When God catches away the church, you're going to find out what kind of preacher they were. As they still sit down here on this earth with their congregation standing in their face, amen, and you wonder what's wrong with him, why ain't he gone to the rapture?
All right.
Praise the Lord. God knows what's happening in your life, my friend. And when he demands an execution of the Amalekite, even to God, he means what he says. He means 100% execution. I'll go back to what I had started talking about a while ago. I said that Amalek was a type and a shadow because the Bible said he did go forth and he set himself between Israel and Canaan. He stood in their way that they couldn't make it there. Now, I feel like tonight that this is a thing that you and I had better realize today. There is not that I could pinpoint, I don't know, maybe a man with a lot more schooling and learning could say that there is. I don't know that I could go to a tribe of people or a genealogy or a family and say that they're descendants of the people that were once called the Amalekites that are living today. So therefore, I'm not speaking in literal terms, but I'm talking in the essence of spiritual terms. There is people today, even to the Lord, that really are spirits, should I say, even more. There were spirits that thought one day they were going to get to inherit the promise, but they were rejected and cast aside. But there was somebody that come along that was just born, that was filled with the Holy Ghost, that is holding on to the promise, and they're going to get what God said they would be. And that spirit is none other than the devil himself. One time he saw the throne. One time he looked God face to face. But he was rejected because of his attitude to reign and rule over God. He was cast out of heaven with a part of the demon forces following after him. And if there's anything, he knows that you're just children that are born into this world, but you're born into the kingdom of God. And he said, you bunch of Isaacs, that you're not going to get the land of the promise, because if I can't have it, you're not going to have it. And the devil stands in our way of what? Entering into the promised land. If there's anything, the devil's going to try to keep you out of heaven. And how's he going to do that? By fighting you, by warring against you, by executing battles and doing things that would cause you to be lost. Amen. Amalek was a type of a hindrance. And the Bible says, as I've once already quoted to you tonight, lay aside the weight, lay aside the sin that does so easily beset you, and run with patience the race that is set before you. I contend tonight that an Amalekite spiritually is not only a demon, but an Amalekite can be a sin, and it can be a weight that you're holding in your life. Don't blame everything on the devil, friend, and say, if it wasn't for the devil, I'd be living for God. He has 99% of the reason because, but there's an Amalekite as to the other reason. Something that comes into your life, and it sees you
pride and told the promised land, and that thing gets in front of you and says, oh no, you can't go there. And he begins to entice you and to allure you with all kinds of sin. He was an Amalekite. He says, if you go into the promised land, you're going to have to walk over me to get there. But there has to be something inside of our hearts to say, friend, heaven's going to be cheap at any cost, and you're going to have to fight to get there. Sinner, if you're ever saved, you're going to have to fight to get there. Amen. Son of God, if you make it to glory, you're going to have to fight to make it there. There's an Amalekite that stands there tonight like a brick wall, like an obstacle, like a mountain, like a wide river. Amen. To God to keep you from crossing, climbing, or going through. Amen.
Right.
Amalekite can be a weight. It can be a sin.
Yes, sir.
It can be a spirit of a demon power.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're going to war with it, and you're going to contend with it. You're going to fight. But there's all kinds of advocates that come into people's lives. But God says, if you're going to make it, you better destroy it.
Yes.
God said, Saul, because he hindered my people. God hates anything that causes folks to be hindered from worship. That's
right.
Now, a lot of you look at us today and say, why are you Pentecostals preach such a hard, strict standard? Because they're Amalekites. They hinder you from going any further with God.
That's right. Yes,
I'm not going to make a statement that will shock any one of you. You know, amen. The world, amen, questions our commitment and our issue on the theory of television. So why are you folks so hard on it? Why do you not believe in it? Because it is an ambiguity. It will hinder you from going forward with God. How can it, Brother Preacher? That question answers its own self.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Because when you feed your mind with immoral corruption and filth, perversion, immoral talk, amen, slander, blasphemy, your mind is spared the issues of communism, amen, to the Lord, through that media called television, amen, lies and blasphemies. That's what's happened today. The world has not seen it. How could it cause your soul not to be
hurt?
People have often said, what goes in a man's mouth, amen, is a thing that defiles him. But Jesus said, no, I say unto you, it's not that which that goes in, but it's that which can defile a man's mouth.
Yes,
that defiles him.
Right.
In other words, it's what's in his heart and what's in his mouth.
Yes,
Lamentations 3:51, the prophet said, mine eyes affect mine heart. It's not that I want to tell you it's a sin to drink Coca-Cola and coffee that's going to send you to hell. But the things that you're seeing or the things that you're hearing is the thing that's going to corrupt your mind. If you listen to the gospel, you believe the gospel, you feed spiritual things into your heart, your mind, and your soul, then you're going to be clean on the inside. But if there's all kinds of garbage going on there, then how in the world can your mind be clear? Amen. All types of consciences. Amen. But heaven tonight, an Amalekite slips into the front of you, and it will war with you, and it will fight you. I've seen people try their best to get the Holy Ghost and get in the kingdom of God and try to go to heaven. But an Amalekite comes along and said, you sure did love to smoke when you was out in the world, and I just ain't going to let go of you so easy. Come on, keep on smoking and go to church. Keep on smoking, sir. It ain't going to hurt you. Keep on doing it. Just one cigarette every once in a while. Just keep on, and on, and on, and on. But it's an Amalekite. It's a spirit of uncleanness that will drive a soul down. And when there is sin in the camp, the Bible said a little leaven, and it leaveneth the whole lump. Amen. To God, a little bit of defilement. The Bible said, you better beware lest a root of bitterness, just a little root of bitterness springing up in you, thereby many become defiled. It takes just a little bit of seed, a little bit of sin there. But friend, the Bible said when lust conceives, it brings forth sin. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. It's got to have a seed. It's got to have a starting place. It's got to be an Amalekite that steps up there and says, I want to hinder you. I want to stop you. To others, it's not the cigarette, but it's alcohol, or it's some type of tobacco, or maybe it's drugs, or maybe it's makeup. There's some folks that think they're so pretty that they couldn't live without making up, or cutting their hair, or doing this, or arching their eyebrow, amen, or just wearing a short dress, or all kind of gizmos like that. Amen. Are you listening to me tonight? There's those that says, oh, Brother Preacher, picture. I'd live for God if it wasn't that I just didn't have to do without all of that. Friend, if it's not, amen, to God, you're not making a show in this world. You're not to be a center of attraction. You're not to, amen, to be an obstacle out in the world. Because if you're going to be noticed, I'm telling you what makes you noticed. You just put your hair up nice. You just wear your dress godly. Amen. You just bake your face up just to be plain you. And I ain't saying you're ugly, but just look yourself. Walk down the street, and they're going to notice you more than they walk that old girl that they're walking down there with a hand cocked on and $1 million ring flashing on her finger. Yeah, they may look at her, but you're going to draw more attention than any of them. You know why? Because you're different. You know why? That ain't all. It's the Holy Ghost is shining in your life. And the world feels something. They can see something. They know that there's something there. But an amalekite that cannot be tore out of your life and thrown away, and you can't get
Yes, Jesus forgave the lawyers of his day. They thought that they were justified.
Oh, Jesus.
He rebuked the Pharisees and the scribes. He raised their fingers. He had told them one side to that, and the lawyers stood there trying to get them. Oh, man, this is all right. And Jesus looked at them and said, woe, because you put burdens upon men's back, and you don't take one little finger to lift that load. You're like entrance to gates hard. You stand in the way even of those that look at him. And he rebuked them. I'm telling you, anything that would be an obstacle, anything that would stand in the way to keep you from living for God is an amalekite. You hear me, saint? Do you hear me, sinner? Anything that would be a reason for you. I'm going to tell you, if it's the love of the world, the Bible said, even the love of the people that love the world and the things that are in the world, they can't have the love of the Father inside of them. Because you know what? The love of that world is going to bring to them, it's going to bring damnation. It's going to cause their sin, their soul to love something more than they love God. An amalekite grows and grows and grows, but God said destroy them because they stood in the way of the people going to heaven or to Canaan. And anything that hinders people from living for God today, get rid of the amalekite. Can you say praise the Lord? Sinner, you better tear the amalekite out of your life. Young people, if it's the ball game, if it's the worldly music that you're aiming to lure to, my God, don't let those things be amalekites to you. I don't see how folks could ever be lost and go to hell over a rock group called Kiss. Them lovely looking creatures, amen to the Lord. I'll tell you what I've seen them on you that looked a lot better. And anything that hinders people from living for God today, get rid of the amalekite. Can you say praise the Lord? Sinner, you better tear the amalekite out of your life. Young people, if it's the ball game, if it's the worldly music that you're aiming to lure to, my God, don't let those things be amalekites to you. I don't see how folks could ever be lost and go to hell over a rock group called Kiss. Them lovely looking creatures, amen to the Lord. I'll tell you what I've seen in on you that looked a lot prettier than them outfits did.
Right.
I saw the lonely hog one day walling in the hog pen. He was just natural born beauty compared to them outfits.
Right.
Amen. Kiss. Knights in satanic service. That's what their name represents. Amen to God. Knights, workers, warriors in the service of Satan. That's what they symbolize. Will you let your kids sit down and say, that's my favorite group. Men that are working for the kingdom of hell. No, friend, it's abomination to God.
Hallelujah. That's the reason they look like they do, to look like demons, because that's what they're working for. They pray for the anointing of hell to be upon them. Oh, no, sir. Amen. The lyric music that they do, amen, has its enchantment. It brings a spell upon the listener. They get caught in the rhapsody of that spirit, and they yield to it, and it brings nothing but a broken mind. It leads them into a trance of immorality in hell. Let me tell you something, it would not be an amalekite to me. Friend, there's something more beautiful than the things of this world. There's something calling our souls, amen to God, that we ought to lay aside all the things that are hindrance to us. We gotta make it to glory. We gotta make it to heaven. We cannot afford to be lost tonight, children of God. Sinner, you cannot afford to be lost because he's coming and coming soon. Everything that would be a hindrance to you. Our crazy world. Our crazy world.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus.
grace again. Anything that goes against the word of God is compared to us with them.
That's
right. Paul said, "Doth not nature itself even teach you this is shame to a man that hath
your own care?" All
that. They taught against it. They preached that you shouldn't do it. The Bible said that a woman's hair ought not be shaved.
That's right.
Leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
But the reason people do it today, because it's an act of rebellion.
All right.
This unisex fear in the world today, I am 100% against it.
Yes.
It's not of God.
All right.
Men are not to look like women, and women are not to look like men.
Amen, brother.
It's rebellion.
True.
Against the plan of God.
All right.
God wanted you to be a woman, He made you a woman. That's
all right. Right.
God wanted you to be a man, He made you a man.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Women's liberation, the year of the child, my blood almost boiled today as I looked into the newspaper and read how the bill is a country overseas today, even to God that just made it against the law. Now you listen to me,
yeah.
It's literally against the law to spank a child in that country.
The law.
Because it's the year of the child, nothing but a conspiracy promoted by communism that's ranking the world today. It's trying to pass laws and legislatures that'll be just like this in our country. They're on the floor. They're just waiting to be passed.
Yeah, like Congress.
Oh, I better leave that alone. That's too long a story tonight. They're Amalekites now. I said they're Amalekites.
Yeah.
I'll get off on something and take me too long to get back home. Praise the Lord. But they're Amalekites.
Yeah.
They're Amalekites. Help us today, Jesus. Help us. It's a spirit of error. And Saul, if you'll obey God, you'll kill it. But if you'll obey God tonight, friend, you'll take out of your life the thing that hinders you. You'll destroy it. You'll smite it. You'll slay it. Young person, what is your reason for not letting him go? You've got a reason. You say, oh, no, I've got no reason. Oh, yes, you have. There's something that you love more than you love God. Amen. Sinner, why aren't you living for the Lord tonight? Because there's something that you favor a little bit more than you favor God. Oh, you respect Him. Well, I don't say you don't. Yes, sir, you respect Him as God, and you have reverence toward the church, but still, if you loved Him, Jesus looked at the man and said, do you love me? He said, yes, sir. Do you love me? He said, yeah, I love you. He said, if you really love me, you will keep my commandments.
All right.
If you love God tonight, like you say you do, you'll be keeping His commandments. You'll be obeying His word.
All right.
You'll be doing what the book says. You can't say that you love God and you know that there's sin in your life. Because there's a love for something else more than there is for God. There's an advocate, standing there tall and strong. The little preacher woke up. Obviously, he didn't woke up. He just got up. I told you he had prayed all night. He got up and he left, going toward Gilead. He passed by Mount Carmel and went on to Gilead. Where Saul's camp was, and as he walked into that camp that day, he heard the lowing of oxen, the bleating of sheep, and he listened as he stood there, and he said, yes, sir. There's the sound of sin. He walked a little bit further, and he saw the man come running. The king of Israel was running toward the preacher. He said, oh, hell, prophet of God, it's good to see you today. I have obeyed the Lord, and I've done that which the Lord God has given the battle. Look at what we have done. You see, every one of us are alive. Everything is well. He said, we've done what the Lord said we ought to do. And he said, you've lied to the Lord today.
All right.
He said, no, what do you mean? He said, you have not obeyed God. He said, yes, I have, sir. He said, then what mean ye by the lowing of the oxen and the bleating of the sheep that I have heard in my ears today? He said, you didn't bring your cows and your sheep to war with you, did you, sir? You didn't bring your old pet bull and your favorite prize blue ribbon winning sheep to the battlefield, did you, sir? No, sir. His eyes closed with horror because that preacher had his number. He said, yes, sir. But I've got a reason. He said, the people spared me.
Yeah.
And I know you're going to find out there's a man over there called Agag the king that we spared alive. He said, we've got him here too. Before you go and find him, I'm going to tell you all about it. He said, we got a purpose. We got this altar right here, sir. And we're going to bring him right before the altar. We're going to put him on the ground as the custom of the day was. Put our foot on the neck to show triumph over the kingdom. And then we're going to slay him before the altar of God. That's the only reason. We won't let him live. And those oxen and sheep, let me tell you, sir, we're going to take them, and we're going to burn them out to the Lord. He said, you fear not.
All right.
It's an Amalekite. And God says, I hate it. I abhor it. Are you praising the Lord tonight, church?
All right.
Amalekites, Amalekites, Amalekites. And if they were going to take things God said was sin and use them for the service of God. Oh, there's Amalekites coming into our churches today. I see them sitting up blinking, sackabilly black. I'm flashing all over. A man stands there strumming to rock music, singing, yeah, 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 and blah, 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 and loop, 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 and all kind of junk. They went to God and say, oh, we're doing a word for God. But God says, it's from Egypt. It's from the Amalekites. He said, it ain't got no business been in my house of God. Can you say, praise the Lord, but we're offering a sacrifice to the Lord. God said the things that are going to be accepted. The Apostle Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you could present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But when I see all kinds of sin today trying to be offered up in a church service to praise and glorify God, I say that strange fire, that strange offering, that's an Amalekite. God won't accept those kinds of things because their offerings in God set ought to be killed and the ultimate slain outside the sanctuary. And then Malachi was redeemed because of that day the people all offered polluted bread. Amalekites, 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 Amalekites that have come in. Yes, sir, but we cannot take the programs, the skits of the world, and because the world done it and got away with it, we can't take it and make it work. David learned a sad lesson one day, even because the people of the land of the Philistines sent the ark back home on a brand new cart, made a fine fence of wood being pulled by a milk cow, which was a cow. Amen to the Lord. Surely it worked for them because they were just getting rid of it. But David said, oh, he prayed one day. He said, Lord, I long to go to the threshing floor of the bull to bring back. Amen. That ark of God to Jerusalem. He said to the carpenters of Israel, he said, build me a chariot. Get me some oxen. Hook it to it. Come on, priest, let's leave. And they walked down to that threshing floor of Bodom. They loaded that cart upon that, that ark upon that cart, and they started back toward Jerusalem. But there was a man that was walking by it that God smote dead because the ark just bobbled on that thing. Fear smote the heart of David, and he said, stop the whole thing. God's displeased with what's going on. He said, I know it's a sign from the Lord. David stopped and looked at the thing, and he cried. He said, oh God, how shall I bring again the ark of the Lord back to Jerusalem? And that is the cry of the church people today. How can I bring back the ark of the presence of God into our churches, into our buildings, into our place? How can we get the Spirit of the Lord to return in revival like it was a few years ago? David prayed and sought the Lord. Hallelujah. He sought God vigorously, and finally he thought of it. It hit him like a light bulb. He went back and he said, come on, preachers. Don't take your hammers. Don't take wood. Don't take nothing but yourselves. And when he got down to that threshing floor, he said, now pick it up and put it on your shoulders and carry the ark, because that was always God's plan. He said, the ark ought to always be carried on the staves that were for the stave rings that was on the side of the ark. That was the way that it was always transported. And I'm saying today, you don't take the gospel, amen, today and put it on programs. You don't make shows. You don't make skits. You don't make puppet show revivals. You don't get Bozo the Clown. You don't get candy rings. Amen. You don't get all of these programs and skits and schemes and promotional theories, bus ministries and what have you, and build a church. And he said, come on, preachers. Don't take your hammers. Don't take wood. Don't take nothing but yourselves. And when he got down to that threshing floor, he said, now pick it up and put it on your shoulders and carry the ark, because that was always God's plan. He said, the ark ought to always be carried from the stays that were for the stay rings and was on the side of the ark. That was the way that it was always transported. And I'm saying today, you don't take the gospel, amen, today and put it on programs. You don't make shows. You don't make skits. You don't make puppet show revivals. You don't get Bozo the Clown. You don't get candy rings. Amen. You don't get all of these programs and skits and schemes and promotional theories, bus ministries and what have you, and build the church, because that's a wooden cart. Are you listening to me tonight? Amen. That may be a wooden cart, but oh, God help us. It's God's plan that the gospel be carried on the shoulders of the ministry. That was always the plan of God. It was always the plan of God for God to move. So many Amalekites today that are roaming and stomping around close to the altar to keep you away from God. An Amalekite lurks in your face tonight, sinner. And then hypocrite or sin of God, an Amalekite lurks in your face to say, I'll keep you from getting what you need. But God says you better smite him.
There stood a little man justifying himself, or did. He said, but didn't you know that obedience was better than sacrifice? That hearkening was better than the fat of rams? But rebellion was as a sin of witchcraft. He said, oh, I knew it. But I wouldn't listen. He said, the Lord has rejected him this day. And he turned to leave. And as he did, he reached to take his garment, and that man jerked him in it. Turned and looked at him and said, this day as thou hast rent my garment, so hath the Lord God rent the kingdom of Israel.
Oh, yes.
And he's given it unto another, a neighbor of them, that is a better man than you. The old man walked, drooped shoulders, back to the camp. From that day forth, the Bible said, Samuel never came again to visit Saul all of the days of his life. Can you picture to live the rest of your life without a preacher? I may be a minister, but I've got to have preachers. I've got to have friends. I think what a good day would be to be without a preacher. But he was. From that day forth, his life was like the stock crash in the 20s and 30s, the Depression. If it could be looked at like a graphic chart, you would see the life of Saul just like this. From nowhere, God called and brought him to a perfect pinnacle. Then he disobeyed God and plunged down to nothing but disobedience. Just dropped.
All right.
He reached the height, and then he fell. Disobedience. What happened to him? He's walking one day on the back roads of Israel, knocking on the door of a witch that has a familiar spirit. They call the witch of Endor. He sneaks in. You know the story very good. He says, woman, I want you to bring someone back from the dead to help me. She begins to do her enchantments and her acts. She sees an old gray-headed man with a mantle come out from the ground. And brother, the spirits of hell, it was in her sense that that was not of the spirit of the devil. Oh, no, she feared the God that she was speaking as that old voice began to speak in that room, and she cried out because she recognized it was the voice of a man of God speaking that day. She said, you have deceived me, sir. You're Saul, King of Israel. You've come this day to make me do these enchantments that you might smoke me and slay me, haven't you? He said, woman, hold your peace. I've come to do thee naught, but let me listen. He said, Saul, Saul, why hast thou disquieted me this day, friend? He said, because I've got something to tell you, preacher. He said, God no longer speaks to me. I can't feel God anymore.
Oh, God.
don't have no dreams. The preachers never have a prophecy for me. I spoke to God through the earth and the firmament, and I can get no answer. God has turned a deaf ear on my soul, and I cannot hear from the Lord. What's wrong with it? So, because I didn't hear the advocate. I let it stand in no way of disobeying God. He said, I've got nothing to tell you today, friend, but one thing. He said, what is that? Give me something. He said, tomorrow, you're going to be with me. Carrying this. It's going to all be over. He walked out onto the field that next morning, and as he looked as the battle was set into array, he saw Jonathan, a precious man of God. He saw his son was killed. He was slain. He saw them quarter him, then surround him, and they were coming to him. He turned to his armor bearer and he said, son, he said, do me this kind favor. He said, fall on me and slay me, that it might be said that I was slain by the hand of the enemy. Don't let me die by the sword of the Philistine. He said, sir, but I cannot do this. I've been faithful to you all these years. I can't do it. He said, done, son, hurry. He pulled the sword of the Philistine, slays me. He said, I cannot do it. Then he said, all to the world. And he pulled his sword, put it to his stomach, and fell to the ground, running it through his body, trying to usher on death. But he rolled over, facing a sunny sky that morning, his hair rolling in the locks of the dew of that grass, agonizing in pain, waiting for death to rip, amen, the cord of life from his heart. But it wouldn't work. He was still alive. And he could hear him running. I'll get him first. I'll kill him. And a man run by his side and hollered. And he said, come here. Saul was gone. The Bible said that they took Saul and they slew him. And killed his head and put it in one of their temples. And they hung their walls upon the walls of their city. Their bodies on the walls of their city. There come a runner the next morning of the camp of King David. He come a running and David run out to say, man, he said, you bring tidings of the war. He said, yes, sir. He said, I come to tell you today. He said, how goeth the matter of the war with Israel and the Philistines? He said, Israel is defeated. Every man is back to his tents. He said, how goeth the matter with Saul and with Jonathan? He said, Jonathan and their brothers are dead. And Saul is gone. He said, tell me, boy. He said, Jonathan dead, my friend. He said, he's dead. David, I can prove to you, he said, because I have these tokens. I have his wrist bracelet, and I have his crown that belonged to Saul. But surely these are King Saul's, but how did you get them? He said, by perchance it happened that I was upon Mount Gilboa. And I passed by a man that was fallen and slain, and I perceived that it was Saul. And as I went near to him, he hearkened to me and called, and said, come and stand upon my chest and utterly slay me. And I did. You know what happened? Go back to Mount Gilboa. As I was telling you, Saul was raving in pain, and he looked in the eyes of the son of a stranger. That's what the Bible called me. Saul beckoned to him and hung him. He said, slay me, kill me, take my life, lest they torture me to death. He said, but before you do, tell me who thou art. He said, I'm the son of a stranger. What are you, friend? Yes, son of a stranger. What are you, friend? Yes, and he raised a spear and right to the heart of the giant of the man and took his crown off his head. He lost his crown.
Come on. Lord Jesus.
I would surmise as I would go back into this message just picking a few highlights. God said, kill him, everyone. But Saul said, I have spared.
Yeah.
Because you didn't kill the Amalekites, so God rejected you. He sent judgment to your land. But that wasn't half the story yet, son. Seeing that you did not kill the Amalekites, what was the thing that you saw last on this earth, brother son? Who was the eyes? What was the man's name? What was his race? What was his nationality? Sorry to say, but it was the Amalekite.
Yes.
The thing that caused his soul to be rejected by God. I think tonight, friend, the thing that God begs and pleads with you tonight to give up, the thing that stands in your way to keep you from obeying God, from getting the Holy Ghost, from praying, repenting, or moving closer to God, the thing that keeps you away from God, that spiritual Amalekite that I go back and borrow from 15 or 20 minutes ago that I preached to you, anything that would be your hindrance, God tonight says, kill it. But if you won't rise up, you'll do everything. You'll quit doing everything but that one thing. And you let that Amalekite live. You disobey God.
Right.
You keep that one little sin. You say, well, Brother Pritchard, it ain't but one thing. And it ain't going to hurt me that bad. But Jesus helped me to tell you tonight. The very thing that I have seen folks unwilling to give up is the very thing that I have saw them lose out with God. I have seen people, I saw a gentleman that was, he'd done everything, he lived for God. I guess, as far as I know, that he was doing everything, he lived for the Lord, he believed God, he trusted the Lord, he had faith, he had confidence in God, he preached the standard of holiness. But one day the Lord revealed a sin in his life, and God told me, he said, you tell that preacher, kill that Amalekite. It's time. He said, I'll forgive him and I'll restore him the strength of his ministry. I looked at him in the face and I said, man, you have rebuked me, you've whooped me, you've treated me worse than a first grader. Amen to the Lord. You've rolled me around. I said, there's times that you weren't merciful to me, and I thought you ought to be a whole lot kinder to me. I said, but friend, today I've got to tell you something. I said, now the table is turned. I said, I may not be perfect, but friend, I see a sin in your life, and you better repent and get it out. If you don't, it's going to destroy you. He dropped his head and began to cry because he thought no one knew. But he loved that Amalekite too much to let it go. You could put your finger on nothing else in his life. But he pacified that one Amalekite. He kept it alive. Huh? When a man is tempted, don't let him say he's tempted of God, because God tempteth no man. But a man is tempted and enticed when he's drawn away after his own lust. When that lust conceives, it brings sin. And sin brings death. It started little, but it ended up big. And it did to him like it did to Saul. That Amalekite stood on his chest and drove his face into the ground and said, you wouldn't kill me, preacher. Now I've got you. Your approach to the church, I've caused you to sin, and everybody's looking down. They know that you can't live this life. And he grounded again and said, play, old preacher. You wouldn't get rid of me. I thought one day you had me whipped, but you just wouldn't listen. Tonight is told about doctors, they've got conditions that are serious in their throat, their lungs, emphysema, or what have you. He says, lay down your cigarette if you don't. It's going to get you. But that cigarette is so good. It's an Amalekite. Oh, I can't get rid of it. My, they look at the pictures in the newspapers and the papers. They see this water and this horse rider, and they see the mountains and the sky and the beautiful scenery. But they never see Houston, Texas. Fourth floor, room 232. Amen to the Lord. A man laying up there with his lungs eaten out, black as an ace of spades, his lips gone, his nose eaten off of his face. Cancer. Why are you here, sir? Because I just couldn't kick the habit. You walk down a little bit further. The trachea's cut. There's a little disc, the diaphragm put into it. Maybe they even get so serious that they'll open their chest cavity and put a diaphragm right there. All of this is gone. They're just a diaphragm in their chest. But what is so freak is to see that person take a cigarette, right? Put it into that diaphragm in their chest. And just heave. Smoke a little bit more cigarette. Why are you in this condition, man? Why is that lung cancer there? Because they say tobacco caused it. For God's sake, man, why can't you get that thing out of that diaphragm and live a little bit longer? He said, because I just can't kick the habit. What's wrong? He loves that amalekite too much, and he fails to see that it's going to be that amalekite that stomps his face into the ground and kills him. It's not just the cigarette. It's just not the whiskey bottle. It's just not the little hypodermic needle, amen to the Lord. It's just not the pill, friend. It's just not that, but it's sin, immorality, hatred, envy, love, amen, all kinds of sin. Do you hear that tonight? But if it's an amalekite that keeps you away from God, if you don't kill it, it's going to kill you. Believe it if you want to. But I'll tell you what the Bible says. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads tonight, church, and reverence to the Lord. Tonight, so good and so strong. He's saying, Saul, I'll go with you. I'll be a sword in your hand. I'll make the amalekite melt like butter if you'll just fight. He's saying tonight, child of God, if you'll just stand up and resist the devil, he'll flee from you. He's saying, if you'll just put an effort out, kill him, I'll help you destroy that hindrance, that habit, that handicap. Young person, I'll do what he says. But there's a pet amalekite in every man's life if he's not careful. If they're allowed to live, and it drives them further from God. Because God's Bible said that he will not dwell in an unclean vessel. If there's an amalekite living in your heart tonight, God says there's no room for me. Can a man love the world? He had not the love of the Father. Because the love of flesh and the love of this world, the Bible says, is empty against God. Jesus, I feel you. I preach my heart out to you tonight. I've done everything in my power to try to tell you God's talking to your heart tonight. God's speaking to souls in this building. If you leave here tonight, I've done what I can to reach you. But God says, please, you kill him. Destroy him. If you don't stomp on him, he's going to stomp you into the ground and take the very life out of you. There's amalekites in this building tonight. There's amalekites here. I feel them in the spirit and the witness of the Holy Ghost. There's amalekites that God's wanting to destroy. He loved a whole run to the federal security. You love sports. I was talking not too long ago to a family that
had a son that loved sports, and they thought he was such a fine specimen of human. But it was such a sad story. They quit living for God that they could take their young man and put him into high school with his best caliber. He could work in sports. But you know what happened to that young man? He was injured. And he was handicapped until his life was nothing more than just a vegetable. You say, what happened, preacher? God let it happen. But the worst part about it was they had given up God just to let their sons be cheered, that they could feel the glory to say, that's my child. And they're standing the altar benches with tears, trying to find their way back to God. But the Amalekite stands there to say, no, sir. You're losing because it's not just me fighting you now. The Bible said in Isaiah the prophet, as long as they loved him and cherished him and embraced him, he was their God, and he led them, he directed them, and the angel of his presence did go before them, and he even carried them in there with his bosom. But when they rebelled, and they rejected God, God turned, and he fought against them, and God became their enemy. Tonight, friend, I'm leaving this pulpit in just a few moments. But there are souls that's out there tonight that's got Amalekites that's alive and well. It's going to cause God to turn against you. Please, I don't know. I fear that I didn't make this message plain enough. I fear that I didn't get through to you, because I'm telling you, the danger of letting the Amalekite live means for God to turn against you. But the worst part is that Amalekite comes back to smite you. I could tell you case after case, this pastor that has been in it longer than I, how many times could he get up here tonight and recite to you case after case that he has saw, that he knows, that people would give up God for such and such a thing and it come back. And the thing that they gave up God for was the thing that destroyed them. Young people are dead and in hell tonight because they wouldn't crucify the Will you come tonight, friend? Whoever it is, the Holy Ghost is dealing with your soul tonight. And I ask you, the fear of God tonight, please come. Church, pray, church, pray, church, pray. Church, pray, church, pray. Come on, soul, kill him. I'm nothing compared to Samuel, but God has told my heart to tell you, Saul, kill the Amalekite. If you don't, it's going to kill you. Come on, friend. Doing some killing of the Amalekites tonight. The Word of God's true. I could have told you a story, but the Word of God is true. It's going to come back and prove itself in front of you. Are you sick of tonight? Brothers and sisters and center friends tonight, some souls
executive tonight. You better pray tonight. You better seek the Lord. You better call upon the Lord, because His mercy can turn into rain. His compassion can turn into virtue. He can do you like He did Saul. He loved Saul with all of his heart, but Saul wouldn't obey Him. And you're not obeying God tonight. But then I don't. My physical body's exhausted, but I feel your soul. It's in. I don't know. You're just on the brink of eternity.
Oh, God.
Please. You can't see that sin tonight. It's so big. But you can see through the eyes of this message. I want you to look in the eyes. It's going to be your messenger of death. That other kind that's keeping you to that seat that you love more than you love God is going to be the thing that sends your soul to hell. It's going to be the thing that causes God to reject you. Because you love that more than you love God. Obeyed the Lord tonight with you. With you. You're another doctor tonight. Come on. Take too much of your time. Come on, young people. Kill them. It's just not a game that this preacher's telling you tonight. I could stand here tonight preach an hour. This elder could tell you 2 hours worth of experience of how Amalekites defeated mighty men, mighty warriors, mighty people. Friend, you're helpless without God tonight. But Amalekites, after one thing, God said, I've declared war upon him, because it's going to be from generation to generation. Because they stood in the way. Shall we stand in the fear of God tonight? Everyone that stands. I'm asking all of you that will come, let's gather around the front somewhere. Praise the Lord. Let's get just as close to this altar as we can tonight. If you can't come up here tonight, then pray where you're at or around your bench. Come on, church. Your visitors are welcome to pray with us tonight. We encourage you to help us. Everyone, we need your help. There's some young men that need God desperately tonight.